Chapter 2. I had ran a hand through my hair and tried to slow down my breathing as the news sank in, and I had never seen the girls so quiet before. Kat slumped into the pilot seat of the silent spaceship, and Becca stared out of the window while she tugged on her blonde hair. Haewon chewed her lip with a scowl, and she kept her arms folded tight around her chest. The bright screen of the map illuminated the three aliens' faces as they huddled over it, and they started to mutter in their native language while Idhara pointed and scrolled. I knew I had to take control of the situation before everyone became hopeless. "So," I said to break the silence, "if we can't use these ships to get to the mothership, is there another way of getting on board?"
"Well, there are many ways,"
Idhara said as she wiggled her fingers by her side.
"But I do not know how to operate these ways here on Earth."
"Your technology is,"
the shorter alien trailed. "Primitive," I sighed. "Yeah, I've heard. But there must be something we can use, anything that can prove we aren't Alacarix."
"Can you zap yourselves on board?"
Becca asked.
"Ooh, good idea,"
Haewon gasped.
"We could teleport."
"Teleport?" the tall alien asked. "We do not have this term in our minds."
"It means you vanish from this spot and reappear somewhere else without having to physically travel that distance," I said.
"Ah, we can do this,"
Idhara gave a quick nod.
"But we need equipment. It cannot be done with only our minds and bodies. Not yet."
"Not yet?"
Haewon's eyes went wide.
"Yes, the scientists take too long on some things,"
Idhara sighed with irritation, and the other two alien scouts pursed their lips in agreement.
"Too busy with Umati and war," the tall man muttered.
"Oh, damn it,"
Becca groaned, and she scrunched up her face as she leaned against the control panel.
"What equipment do you need?"
Kat asked, as she slowly spun the chair around.
"I bet Quan has some kind of connections in tech."
"Exactly," I agreed. "The guy's got his own satellite and 1,000 favors owed to him. If anyone can hook us up with equipment, then it's Quan."
"It is not so simple,"
Idhara said.
"There is not human equipment that would make this work."
The map suddenly made a low, pulsing beep, and the screen flashed red. "What's that?" I asked. "Does that mean the ship's moving?"
"No," the taller alien man replied. "It is the signal which was received from your science experiment."
"The Hadron Collider?" I asked, and the scouts nodded.
"It is still being registered as a weapon,"
Idhara said as she looked at the screen.
"This is the warning signal that we pick up from it."
"What if we turn it off?"
Haewon asked.
"If it stops sending out the signals, it would show we are not trying to use it as a weapon."
"It is too late,"
Idhara said with a frown.
"Our fleet is coming. Turning off the signal would just make them think you are cowards, not that you are no longer a threat."
"What is Hadron Collider?" the taller scout asked. "What does it do?"
"It's the weapon you guys are worried about," I explained. "But our species isn't using it as a weapon. I'm pretty sure we don't even know it could be used that way. We're only doing scientific experiments with it. Something to do with accelerating protons. I guess the Hadron Collider speeds them up almost to the speed of light and throws them together. I think I read something about it even making little black holes, but I'm not a scientist, so I don't know much."
"Black holes?"
Idhara asked, and her emerald eyes widened.
"This machine can make them?"
"I think so," I said. "Is that important?" Idhara looked at the other scouts, and they hurriedly started to talk in their low hums. Their tones seemed rushed and urgent, although it was always hard to tell with their odd language, and every time they hit a certain frequency, the hairs on my neck seemed to vibrate. Kat stood up from her chair and folded her arms, and we waited for the aliens to finish their discussion.
"This could be good,"
Idhara finally announced, and a smile crept over her pretty face.
"We can use black holes to get on board the ship."
Are you sure about that?" I asked and furrowed my brow. "Because from my understanding, traveling through black holes is impossible, and physicists all over the world have..."
"Your physicists know nothing,"
the shorter alien flatly informed me.
"Better leave the black hole business to the aliens,"
the blonde Brit whispered. "Okay, but scientifically speaking, it's not possible to..." I trailed off as the shorter alien shot me a sharp glance, so I decided to just let the aliens do their thing, even if it made no physical sense to me. At least we had a glimpse of hope, and suddenly everything didn't seem so utterly impossible. Only completely crazy in the best way.
It would still take some programming of the machine,
Adhara said.
But if we can get to a black hole, then we can transport very easy.
Easy?
Heiwan chuckled.
Just zip in and out of a black hole?
Yes, easy.
The tall alien nodded with an expression that proved he genuinely meant this. Becca squealed and threw her arms around the lilac woman. Adhara patted Becca's back, and they held each other for a moment before Becca pulled back and clapped.
So, we are going to Switzerland?
Heiwan asked.
I think it's between Switzerland and France,
Kat said.
But, I mean, we obviously have to go, right?
Fuck yes we do, I agreed. If there's a chance that this could work, we're going to take it.
Then fuck yes,
Kat echoed. And her lopsided grin lit up the control room.
Come on, Adhara,
Becca giggled.
Give us a fuck yes. Fuck yes!
Adhara sang as she bounced on the spot, and I couldn't help but snort with laughter at her confused enthusiasm.
Should we go right this second?
Heiwan asked.
Maybe we should get changed first?
I had completely forgotten that we were all still in our wedding outfits, and my suit pants were definitely too snug for another day of dino fighting. The girls looked gorgeous, but their figure-hugging dresses and high heels would probably cause some issues during combat. Plus, I knew Becca would implode if her wedding dress got dino blood on it. We should time it so we aren't there in the pitch black, I said. We don't know what the dino situation is like there, and we want to have any upper hand we can get. They must be a few hours behind us in that part of the world, right?
I think about 7 or 8 hours,
Kat nodded.
It will just be getting dark there, basically.
Okay, I said. So we leave first thing in the morning. We get to CERN, and we get to the mothership.
Jason flashes his abs,
Becca added.
And the war is called off.
Simple,
Kat said.
Sounds almost too easy. What could possibly go wrong?
We've got this, I said. One step at a time, okay? The girls nodded, and I was hit with a sudden tiredness as I stifled a yawn. It had been a whirlwind of a day, and I was ready to crawl under some silk sheets for the night.
We leave at the sunup, the taller alien announced.
He hit something on his map, and the screen went black.
You are very welcome to sleep in the base,
Heiwan offered.
It is going to be rather crowded when the villagers come, but we can find you a room.
That is not necessary, the scout replied. We use our sleeping rooms on ship.
But thank you,
Adhara added as she elbowed the male scout in the ribs. Would it be okay to give you guys human names? I asked. Feels kind of dickish not to have something to call you.
Dickish?
The shorter alien man furrowed his brow.
Better not translate that one,
Kat muttered, and I cleared my throat. I just meant it would be nice to have a name to call you, I clarified.
I have name, the taller man said, and he proceeded to make a series of grunts and hums.
They cannot pronounce this,
Adhara sighed.
We can speak their tongues. It will make it easier. Mine is Adhara, human name.
She stuck out her chest as she spoke, and I was glad she was still a fan of the title we had given her. The shorter alien shrugged.
It does not matter to me.
We can talk it over in the morning, I said with a wave of my hand. You guys are up for the trip?
We do all we can, the shorter scout nodded. You help our crewmate. We try and help you, too.
So, leave now, the taller one said in a flat tone. It is time to rest.
It was kind of amusing to suddenly be reminded how blunt Adhara's people were, and how much she had adjusted from her time with us. She rolled her eyes in a very human display of annoyance, and the tall alien started to take his boots off.
I guess that's our cue,
Becca smirked.
Let's go.
Good night, I said, and the tall alien shot me a glance as he silently tucked his boots into the corner of the room.
They do not know the human sayings yet,
Adhara said.
They need time to adapt.
I like how direct and to the point you guys are,
Kat chuckled.
Maybe humans should be picking up on some of your mannerisms.
The shorter scout led the way out of the ship, and we followed him into the dense trees. Thick clouds rolled past the moon, and I couldn't hear the usual chirping of the exotic nightbirds. I made sure I had my sharp gun in my grasp as I surveyed the clearing, and I shivered as the cold breeze swept over us. My eyelids were heavy, and I was ready to take off the well-tailored suit to climb into bed. The shorter scout strode over to the other ship, and he briefly said something to Idhara before he disappeared into the entrance at the back. Then I swung around as I heard a rumble behind us, and I quickly realized it was the sound of an approaching engine. My heart leapt into my throat for a split second as I imagined an alien fleet suddenly bearing down on us. But then headlights illuminated the clearing, and Minjun drove his truck toward us through the trees. The oldest of Heiwan's brothers was built like a tank, and his steely expression didn't budge as he nodded at us. Tae and Sun Hee were crammed into the passenger seat together, and their muscular frames contorted to fit inside the small space. It didn't take long to see why they were so cramped. The back of the truck was crammed full of villagers, mostly women, with one little boy. One of the younger women screamed when she saw the spaceships, and she flung her hands over her mouth as she started to sob.
"They are scared of me,"
Edhara whispered as the truck came to a halt. "They're scared of the situation," I explained. "They met you today already, remember? They welcomed you at the temple." It was hard to be reassuring as the crowd of villagers stared wide-eyed at the spaceships and muttered hurriedly in Korean as they slowly climbed out from the truck. Heiwan's brothers jumped out of their seats and started to help everyone down. The little boy tugged on his mother's hand as he reached out in the direction of the ship, and he waved the cuddly bear that was clutched in his hand.
"He's not scared,"
Becca pointed out.
"Look, he wants to go in one of them."
Edhara looked over at the kid, and she gave him a nervous wave as he spotted us. The boy's mouth fell open, and he waved back enthusiastically.
"Human offspring are cute,"
Edhara said with a little nod.
"Wait until you see Jason's,"
Becca sighed and smugly tussled her hair.
"You'll fucking puke from the cuteness." "Puke from cute?"
Edhara frowned in concern. But before I could explain, Heiwan's oldest brother approached.
"Jason," Minjun said as he strode over to me. "I will need to head back to do another run. What is the news?"
I glanced over at the villagers before I spoke, and I watched Sun Hee and Tae usher everyone toward the base. This little boy stared at Idhara as his mother pulled him along, and the alien gave him another wave. "We don't have much time," I said quietly. "The scouts reckon it'll be a few days at most before the entire fleet is on our solar plane. And then the attack will begin as soon as they reach Earth's orbit."
"What can be done?" Minjun asked.
There were dark bags under his eyes, and he kept a hand tightly gripped on the strap of his K2 rifle. "We have a plan to get on board the mothership," I said. "We need to get to CERN for it to work, so we're heading off in the morning."
"All of you?"
The huge Korean looked at Heiwan as he spoke.
"Yes,"
Heiwan nodded.
"I will not leave Jason's side."
Minjun was silent for a moment, and I wondered if he wanted to try to convince his baby sister to stay at the base. His dark eyes flickered down to her belly, and I figured he already felt like the protective uncle to the unborn child. Then I realized my kids were going to be guarded by the Korean mafia for the rest of their lives. Holy shit.
"Very well," he said eventually. "You are capable, little sister. I trust Jason to protect you."
There was a tension in the air as we spoke, and it felt like none of us wanted to acknowledge that it could be our final conversation with Minjun. I knew I had to be strong enough for all of us, and there was no way I would let any hints of doubt show. "We might see you before we go in the morning," I told the chiseled Korean. "But if not, then we'll be back soon." Heiwan suddenly jumped into Minjun's arms, and the massive man gently cradled his little sister. He whispered something in Korean, and she nodded furiously while she let out a sad little squeak. Becca sniffed as she watched them, and the moment was only broken when something nearby howled into the night.
"Oh, shit,"
Kat sighed. I clutched my sharp gun tightly as I glanced upward and wondered what horrifying creature was out for blood in the forest tonight. We had already encountered some of South Korea's dino offerings, and I wasn't in a rush to run into any more, not after the massive Quetzalcoatlus attack at my wedding. "We should get inside," I said, as I stared out into the surrounding bushes. "It's going to be a tough few days." Minju nodded and gently stroked his sister's hair before he spun on his heels and strode back toward his truck without another word.
You okay?
Becca asked as she swung an arm around Haewon's petite shoulders. The Korean beauty nodded as she watched her brother drive away, and we started to make our way back to the base. The huge wooden gate that hid the entrance was reinforced with steel now, and I pushed it open to reveal the small black building inside. We made our way into the hut and stepped into the huge glass elevator that took up most of the room. The elevator had gold detailing around the corners and even had a small bench inside. Cat hit the golden button to take us down, and the doors slid shut just as another howl rang out through the trees.
That's fucking creepy.
Becca shuddered as the elevator shot down.
I hope my brothers are safe,
Haewon murmured. Of course they are, I said reassuringly. No dino stands a chance against those guys, you know that.
Especially with Quan doing runs with them.
Cat added.
They're untouchable, and they wouldn't want you worrying.
That is true,
Haewon sighed.
But it is difficult not to. They always put others first.
I know a guy like that,
Kat said as she winked at me.
Stubborn guys like that always land on their feet.
Or in a sexy role at the bottom of the temple steps,
Becca chuckled.
I saw that save at the wedding, by the way. Very James Bond.
I try, I snorted. The elevator stopped at the lobby, and as the doors slid open, we were hit with a wave of panicked voices. The space was filled with the newly arrived villagers and the women who already lived in the base. The lobby was made of gray concrete and decorated with benches, an ornate water feature, and even a stone dragon. The dragon's long, curled tail ran along the wall which led to the men's bedrooms, and it was detailed with golden paintwork. G was in the middle of the group and had her hands up as she spoke calmly in Korean to the crowd. Then Tae and Sun-hee spotted us and rushed over as we hung back from the chaos.
Hey, Sun-hee said. Everyone is so afraid. Do you have any news? Or a plan?
Tae asked. We do, I nodded. It's not bulletproof, but it's the best we've got.
We must go to the proton weapon,
Adhara said.
It should allow us to get on board of the mothership.
What?
Sun-hee hissed.
You're going to France?
We have to, I said. The fleet is going to be here in a few days. We're running out of time, and it's the best chance we have at stopping them before it's too late. The two brothers exchanged glances, and their usually cheery faces were pale and unsmiling.
This will work?
Tae asked.
Definitely?
It has to, I said.
We will come too, Tae decided. You will need as many people as possible.
I considered it for a moment, and I knew that having the brothers along would add a significant amount of safety to the team. They were tough as nails, brave, and incredible with their weapons. But then I glanced over at the villagers and saw the panic on their faces as they argued with vigorous hand gestures. The people of the island needed the brothers more than we did, and I couldn't let them risk their lives for me in this mission when there was so much good they could do at the base. You should stay, I sighed. I know you guys would be amazing to have with us, but these people need you.
Come on, Sun-hee said as he shook his head. This is about saving the world. This is the most important thing we could ever do.
These people are why we're trying to save it, I replied. The most important thing you can do is to look after them. You know what these forests are like. You're skilled with your weapons and you're willing to do anything to save others. You're meant for this job.
He is right,
Haewon said gently.
Appa needs you here. He cannot look after everyone on his own.
But we can't let you leave,
Tae said, and he grabbed his sister's hand.
You are pregnant, and this is going to be so dangerous.
I must,
Haewon said.
We both have our duties, and mine is to be at Jason's side.
I will die before I let anything hurt her, I told the man, and I meant every word. Tae nodded, and he hurriedly turned away to wipe his eyes. I pretended not to notice and put a hand on Sun-hee's shoulder. You look after that dad of yours, I said. He's got his work cut out for him.
I will,
Sun-hee agreed with only a hint of a smile.
When do you leave?
Early, I said. We should go and get a few hours of rest. There's a shitload of hard work ahead of us.
Good night, then,
Sun-hee nodded as he stood a little taller.
We will see you very soon.
The youngest brother leaned over and kissed Haewon's head, and Tay did the same before the brothers hurried back toward the anxious crowd.
I can't handle this much emotion in one day,
Becca sighed.
Going from the wedding to this has given me serious whiplash.
We have a special room tonight,
Haewon said.
My mother gave me the key card for the huge room for our wedding night.
And I'm ready to pass out.
Kat half yawned, half groaned.
Which is not exactly what I figured we would be doing tonight.
Need me to carry you? I said with a smirk.
I'm not the bride here.
The soldier chuckled, and she strutted off.
Not yet,
Becca whisper sang in my ear. I snickered while Haewon led us down the men's corridor, and we stopped at one of the first rooms on our right. The Korean beauty pulled a golden key card from her hanbok and swiped it over the pad beside the handle. I glanced back toward the lobby to see another group of villagers pile out of the elevator, and the noise quickly increased as more and more voices cried out.
Holy crap,
Kat said, and I turned back to the room as I stepped inside. The space was gorgeous, and the walls were a deep red with candle holders attached to them. All of our bags had been moved to the room, and our casual clothes had been washed and folded into neat piles on the oak drawers. There was a white-tiled bathroom attached to the room, and I glanced in to see a golden bathtub and white fluffy towels waiting for us. I wondered briefly if the tub was actually made of solid gold, but something else drew my attention pretty quickly. There was a huge four-poster bed at the center of the opposite wall, and it had silver silk sheets and was covered in rose petals.
Oh, that is so cute,
Becca whimpered.
Did your mum do that?
Probably,
Haewon nodded.
I am not sure I can imagine Appa sprinkling petals on my marriage bed.
Well, you never know, I grinned. I know Kwan's got a soft side to him. I closed the door and swung my sharp gun from my shoulder as Kat headed into the bathroom.
There are plants,
Adhara said as she pointed to the bed.
Why are there bits of plants in bed? Because it's romantic, of course,
Becca scoffed.
Red roses?
The alien wrinkled her nose as she picked up one of the petals and studied it.
Dead plant on bed is romantic?
She asked. Humans are weird like that, I smiled. But yeah, we like dead plants, I guess. The girls took their makeup off in the bathroom mirror, and we started to pull all of our wedding clothes off.
Fuck, I'm shattered,
Kat said as she pulled her dress off to reveal her gorgeous curves. Her curly hair had fallen from her bun, and she wiggled her sculpted ass in my direction.
Are you sure? I groaned. I promise I could tire you out even more.
If I let you do any of that, we'd spend the few hours we have left of the night fucking your brains out,
the soldier pointed out.
And we do need rest,
Haewon smirked as she dropped her hanbok to the ground. Her panties were lacy black, and she swayed her hips as she strolled over to the bed.
You guys are cruel,
Becca laughed.
We need to rest. Don't tease Jason.
As she spoke, she slowly wiggled out of her wedding dress, and her incredible breasts were freed as she stood naked in the middle of the room. You weren't wearing anything under that? I asked, as all the blood rushed south from my head. Oh, holy fuck.
Wedding night rain check, and I promise you, we'll rock your fucking world for it.
The blonde blew me a kiss and then crawled into bed with the other girls. They snuggled up together and giggled as they brushed the rose petals off the sheets, and I sighed as I admired the view and silently cursed the incoming aliens. But I knew the girls were right. I'd fucking ravaged them for hours with this much end-of-the-world energy in me, and I was actually just as exhausted as they were. Adhara muttered, and I turned toward the bathroom. The beautiful alien was taking her time removing her makeup, and she looked suspiciously at the cotton pads every time she wiped her eyes.
You okay, Adhara?
Becca mumbled sleepily.
The shiny stuff goes away,
Adhara replied from the bathroom.
Well, this is interesting.
I chuckled as I joined her to brush my teeth, and I splashed my face with cold water. I knew that I needed sleep, but seeing my gorgeous girls cuddled up naked made it hard to think straight, even if I knew it was the smart thing to do. They were clearly exhausted, too, because it was only a few moments before Becca's soft snores rang out through the room. Kat and Haewon's breathing slowed down around the same time, and I glanced at the bed as my beautiful lovers drifted off into what I hoped was a restful night's sleep. We were going to need it.
I do not have good feeling,
Edhara said quietly as she slowly wiped her lipstick off. Why? I asked. You're nervous about getting on board the mothership?
I'm worried about everything,
she murmured.
I want to save you and the others. I do not want anyone to be not alive.
We're going to be fine, I said as confidently as I could. We have each other, and that's all the motivation I need to save the world. The gorgeous alien smiled weakly and added more cleanser to her cotton pads like the other girls had done. Once Edhara had scrubbed her makeup off, she fiddled with the back of her green dress, and she scowled as she tugged at the zipper and muttered something in her own language. Need a hand? I asked, and she nodded. I slowly lowered the zipper on her emerald dress, and her soft lilac skin was revealed without any bra. I couldn't resist gently running my fingers down her spine, and she shivered lightly at my touch. Then Edhara dropped the dress to the ground and revealed some silver panties that barely covered her perfect ass. I swallowed hard at the sight, but when the beautiful alien glanced over her shoulder at me and fluttered her silver eyelashes, I knew I was fucked.
Do I look nice?
Edhara asked quietly.
Nice enough to do some mating with?
I immediately grabbed her waist and pulled her close so that her perfect ass was pressed against my groin, and I kissed her neck from behind. Then the lilac woman gave a soft moan, and all thoughts of saving the world left my mind.